welcome everybody to another exciting episode of Legends in the Dark, where we live by the age-old philosophy. Geese are just terrible. My name is Jay.
And I'm Leslie.
How are you doing, Leslie?
Feel bad for the geese.
You shouldn't.
That's not, I'm just going to say it's not my philosophy.
Hey, you know what?
Agree to disagree.
Who brings in all the views on this program? Yours truly.
I was going to say, no one, since we don't know one views it.
Shut up, Leslie. Don't get too big for your britches over there. I would say you could be replaced, but you're the only one who knows how to work any of this computer stuff on this thing.
So, how's your week going?
It's going good. It's going good. Unfortunately, you know, the weekend will always go too quickly for my taste, but...
Yeah.
There's always next weekend.
Yeah, and it's raining, so for those listening, if you hear background ambiance, it's actually raining and not me adding in some special effects.
We put in some Zen music, you know? It's tranquility.
Yep. That's what I put in my dog barks.
The best kind of white noise. Dog barking in the background.
Well, it's like, it's funny because the bigger the dog, I don't mind as much, especially if their barks are like that deep, like Hildy's bark, like woof. And then Lebowski has my other dog, he's a shepherd mix. He has like this, I don't want to bother you bark, where it's a oof.
He just goes woof.
Oof. He's a young one.
He just puffs them out, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's oof. Unless he's upset. Like the other morning, he came right up to the bed and put his head right next to mine and barked, barked, like bark. And I woke up and I'm like, ugh. So I get up and I'm like, Chris, did you feed the dogs yet? And he's like, no, not yet. And I'm like, oh my God, they're waking me up because they know I'm going to tell you. So who's going first tonight? Is it you?
Yes, it is me this time because you went last time.
Yep.
I let you shoulder that burden, m'lady. I will do the same this week.
It's almost like we take turns.
Almost. That's exactly what we do, so, you
know. Okay, so where are you taking me tonight?
Today we're going to Boston, Massachusetts for January 15th, 1919, during...
I know this.
Do
know
you
this.
Now?
Yes. You said 1919, Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston.
Boston.
Oh, Boston.
Boston.
Oh, Boston.
So anyways,
oh,
Boston.
It's going to be the syrup.
Well, I was building up to it, Leslie.
Hi.
God, I'm ruining everything all the time. Anyways, here's the Great Molasses Flood. Thank you for, you know, ruining it for me. My gravitas just deflated like a...
I told
like
you
a,
I knew.
Like a week-old balloon. I didn't tell you to say anything. I told you to open up that big mouth of yours. You see the disrespect I'm showing on this show.
I'm so sorry. I'll stop doing it. Oh, God.
It's okay. I'll just remember it next time. I'll remember this injustice. Great Molasses Flood, also known as the Boston Molasses Disaster, occurred on January 15th of 1919 in the North End neighborhood of Boston, Massachusetts, where a large molasses storage tank burst and a wave of molasses rushed through the streets at an estimated 35 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine molasses moving that fast, but...
No, it was during the summer, right?
That's impressive. No, this is cold weather.
Really? Oh, I thought it was summer. I was totally wrong.
Killed 21 people and injured 150. This story is only as funny as it is tragic.
Oh my gosh.
Well, residents to this day after the claimed that on a hot day, hot summer day, the area still smells like molasses, which sounds terrible. I think I'd get tired of that smell after a while.
A little bit.
So the disaster occurred at the Purity Distilling Company facility. The temperature on that given day had risen above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, which was climbing rapidly from the frigid temperatures of the preceding days. Now, again, like you said, it's like colder weather. You would think that it wouldn't be so fast because it would probably be cold, you know, it wouldn't gain as much traction, I guess. You know, those who don't know, the molasses can be fermented to produce a lot of different things, the rum and ethanol, as well as can be a key component in manufacturing munitions, which I did not know, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is.
Molasses to make bombs.
Well, and it was 1919, so it was just after World War I.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Let's see. So, the stored molasses in this particular facility was awaiting transfer to the Purity plant between Willow Street and what is now known as Everettes Way in Cambridge.
Hmm.
at 12:30 in the afternoon near Keeney Square at 529 Commercial Street, a molasses tank 50 feet tall, 90 feet in diameter, and containing as much as 2,300,000 gallons.
Oh my god, so much.
That's a lot of molasses.
That is. That's huge.
Collapsed.
Oh man.
Let that sink in for just a moment. Witnesses, as it collapsed, felt the ground shake and heard a roar, a long rumble similar to the passing of an elevated train. Ironically, there was a elevated train station near that location also. And as the rivets shot out of the tank as it collapsed, it almost sounded like a machine gun was going off.
I am picturing this thing just, like, collapsing on itself, and then...
Imagine it collapsing slowly for some reason. Because it's molasses.
Well, yeah, but then it's just that roar. Like, you're sitting there, and you hear this weird sound, and you're like, oh, it's just a train, and then... Another sound that sounds like fire, or, you know, gunfire. That was so scary. Like, yeah, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, you wouldn't know what to think at the time. The collapse unleashed a wave of molasses that was, at its peak, 25 feet tall. Wave of molasses moving at 35 miles per hour.
That's so scary.
It was of sufficient force to damage the girders of the adjacent Boston Elevated Railway's Atlantic Avenue structure and to tip a railroad car momentarily off its tracks.
Yeah.
That's strong crazy. Molasses.
That's strong. That force itself is just destroying everything in its wake.
Mm-hmm. The author Stephen Puglio describes how nearby buildings were swept off their foundations and crushed under the pressure of the oncoming wave of molasses. Also, several blocks were flooded to a depth of 2 to 3 feet.
Oh my god! And you know, but it's molasses, so if you get caught in it, it's like quicksand.
Basically. The Boston Post reported on this incident, and I quote, "Molasses, waist deep, covered the street and swirled and bubbled about the wreckage. Here and there struggled a form, whether it was animal or human being was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval, a thrashing about in the sticky mass, showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky paper. The more they struggled, the deeper in the mass they were ensnared. Human beings, men and women, suffered likewise." And then, 150 people injured, 21 people were killed.
And yeah.
They didn't really give a specific number on the horses, but they said there were many horses that died also. People were even saying, well, I mean, I think it was the Boston Globe. They also reported people were picked up by the rush of air from the oncoming wave and hurled many feet away.
Well, yeah, that makes sense because it's this just force that's disrupting everything. Have you ever gone to the beach and there's a big, like, tidal wave and you feel that water, like, the wind off the water?
There's, like, a pressure on
it.
So, it was a short story that I had here, but I thought it was kind of interesting. It wasn't so much a supernatural urban legend, but...
No, but, you
interesting
know,
the fact
it's
that...
It's a legend. I mean, it's not a legend as in, like, oh, did it really happen? No, this really happened.
It really happened, and it fell into folklore, almost.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things where...
It's a freak. That's the true definition of a freak accident, basically. It's death by a molasses wave.
Well, it's unsettling because, like I said, you're sitting there in your home and all of a sudden this thing just comes whipping past.
Mm-hmm.
Could be destroying your house. You could be stuck in it. It could be, oh, God, that's just the scariest
almost feeling.
Feel
like which would be the worst way to go, getting crushed initially under the pressure of the wave or being stuck and suffocating to death in molasses.
Oh, so sad.
So that was the Great Molasses Disaster of 1919.
I'm so sorry. When you said 1919 in Boston, I was like, I know where this is going.
I was surprised you knew about it, to be honest.
Well, I watched Drunk History, and I think someone did it on Drunk History. A couple months ago, I think Karen did it from My Favorite Murder podcast. And I think it was just because it was her favorite story, and that's why she did it. There was no murders. I don't remember her saying, but it was... It's one of those things where you ever hear of something and then all of a sudden, like, you hear the story over and over and you're like, why am I hearing the story, like, 3 or 4 times? Like, sometimes that happens to me. Like,
the funny thing is I've never heard about this story until I looked it up today.
And this is the third time I'm listening to the story in probably the last 6 months.
I was like, oh, molasses wave? That's crazy. I had to do it.
Yeah.
No, I was, like, struggling to find, like, something new to do for this week, and then I was like,
Yeah, and full disclosure for our listeners, like, when I asked Jay what he was doing tonight, and he said, I said, no, you know what, no, don't tell me, I want to be surprised. And
I failed in that regard.
Well, no, you said, I said, give me a hint. And you said, oh, it has to do with a condiment. A condiment?
Condiment.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I didn't even think about it. But then as soon as you said Boston in 1919, I was like, oh my god, this is the syrup thing. I was wrong, it's molasses, not syrup, but...
Molasses? Is molasses used as a condiment? I don't think it is, right? Because...
Boy, that's just funny how I still figure it out, even you gave me false information, sir.
Sir, madam. Don't you sir me. Ruining my, stealing my thunder.
I'm really sorry, I feel bad. No, if you're really upset about it, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to.
I don't care.
Okay, so that's interesting. Like I said, that's the third time I've heard that story in like 6 months, so maybe it's a... foreshadowing that I'm going to go to Boston soon.
It's a foreshadowing that we're going to experience another molasses disaster.
No, I think they're pretty good at
making sure. Do we even store molasses in giant tanks anymore?
Well, I remember hearing that story before, and I think one of the things that they found out that the tanks were, the inspection was like faulty, or because things were cut when they made it.
They were, yeah, there were some things on there that the company was trying to blame it on terrorists, trying to sabotage it, because, I mean, they did use the stuff in munitions, so it might have been an anti-war statement or some nonsense like that.
And but, I can't remember, I think it was right before Prohibition, right?
Yeah.
So, that was a good one, I like that story. Really weird way,
it's
like...
really weird. It's the method of what happened is what makes it funny. No, the deaths are tragic either way. Yeah. But it's just
but
like
the idea of it. I see what you mean. It's the
nonsensical freaking molasses.
Yeah, you don't think of that as going to be like...
I never thought of molasses as being deadly, but apparently it can be.
And you always hear that. I always hear that like, oh, you're slower than molasses in January. Obviously not.
maybe they changed that phrase right after that.
Yeah, right.
So what do you have for me today?
Well, do something a little creepy. Do a little something a little bit scary enough where I should probably let you go first because I'm probably going to get scared tonight again. At least my husband's home this time.
You did it to yourself.
I know. I get scared so easily. Like, I read these creepy stories and I watch the creepy videos online. And even on our Facebook page, people put up their creepy... the paranormal hunters who are on, and paranormal investigators who are on my, Instagram. But no, they put up their videos of weird things, and I sit there just, you know, in the middle of the night in bed, like, I'm gonna watch another one. And then I wonder why.
And you're freaked out for the rest of the night. Meanwhile, yeah. I'm like, it's like, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna watch scary ghost stories and creepy stuff on the internet. I'm gonna sleep like a baby.
Except that one time where I told you the creepy stories and you called me, you're like, yeah, I had to go to Rich's house.
Well, it was the mirrored men, and that one freaked me out a little bit. I was like, oh, creepy bullfrog-faced guys who make me lose time? No thanks, I don't want any part of that. If I see them, I will either A, run away as fast as I can, or rush them and see if I can knock them over.
And then, like, all of a sudden, you wake up 4 hours later.
They stole their hat, though.
Okay, so my story is... The Legend of the Dark Mirror.
Dark Mirror.
Okay, so my first source is the Travel Museum of the World Famous Paranormal and Occult. I got that information from paramuseum.com. There's this scrying mirror. I think that's how you pronounce it. And scrying is the practice of looking into a suitable medium to see messages or visions. So you can use mirrors, crystal balls, reflective stones. People even kind of use bowls of water. What this mirror is called, the black mirror, looks like is a gold frame with a black surface. And when you see it, it looks like just a regular mirror. To me, when the pictures, it doesn't look like any bigger than like a 8x11 piece of paper. It doesn't look that big. So people like hold it in front of them, almost like a handheld mirror, but without a handle. You know what I'm talking about? Like a frame? Yeah. Like an 8x10 frame? So this particular mirror, and they sell them. I guess you could get them on eBay and at these conventions and psychic fairs. According to the source, the previous owner had bought it from one of these fairs. But whenever they looked into it, they reported seeing nothing but terrible visions. And that the person thought the mirror appears different, like scary things. It's almost acting like a window of the fears of the gazer. You look into it and you see like terrible things. And at the same time, the longer people, it seems like the more people hold it, the more energy is drawn from the gazer.
Hmm.
The previous owner then looks like donated it to this museum. Now, in a 2015 article by Greg Newkirk, he has the mirror. I think he and his wife have the mirror, and they have, like, this travel museum. So he reports the previous owner said it was her mother that wanted the mirror, and when her mother became more withdrawn and obsessed with it, the owner took the mirror, even though it gave off a heebie-jeebies vibes. And then she got in contact with him and said, hey, can I donate this to your museum? And then they took it to, they would do these different stops, and they would take certain objects. So they had other haunted and cursed objects. So one of the things that started happening is, on June 20th, they took the mirror to the Perryville battlefield in support of the Ghost Adventures' Nick Groff. And I didn't really explain like if he was having a show there and they just wanted to go, or if, because I think, not Nick Groff, but, is it Nick Groff? I can't remember who's the main guy, but one of the Ghost Adventures guys actually has another show, and I think they used the mirror in this mansion they took in. And that's when I first heard about the dark mirror. And it was pretty creepy looking. And this time, they took it to the Perryville battlefield. And he invited guests. He told about the history of this mirror, about why it was used. And he invited guests to use the mirror at their own risk. And this is Greg Newkirk. So he invited them to use it. This one woman reached down and picked up the mirror and looked into it, and within 30 seconds she had like a weird, confused, almost horrified face and put the mirror down face down on the table. When asked what she saw, her response was, quote, I saw my own decomposing corpse looking back at me. That's a dark mirror. I should not have done that. I need to go say a prayer. Excuse me. And then she basically left. And then reports of strange visions, warping faces, and a general sense of dread were told by gazers. The more that he kind of said, hey, this is the story, do it at your own risk. That he was getting so many reports that he was like, maybe I should kind of change this warning before people start doing this. Then they're saying one woman pressed her palm on the mirror and then spent hours, about 2 hours, trying to erase the smudge. And she got so upset that she finally threatened to break the mirror, and the smudge finally faded away. Now, even the writer of this article, Newkirk, gets the sense that he should look into the mirror, but he often tries to fight it. But it was never as bad as, like, it sounds like to me in this article, it wasn't as bad when they first got it, not until more and more people kind of started handling it. Another story is a woman looked into the mirror to see her mouth moving, even though she wasn't saying anything, and witnesses around her said that she didn't move her mouth. So basically picture it, you're staring at yourself in this mirror and you're seeing your mouth moving, but you're not doing anything.
What did she know, kind of like what the mirror reflection was saying, or
didn't say?
Probably something bad.
Oh man, it gets worse, watch. Okay, another story is a man said when he held the mirror, he saw a person who looked exactly like himself peer around behind his reflection and then walk away. So basically, it sounds to me like he was holding it and something over his behind him looks like himself, and then walks away. It's like, oh no, that's like no, stop. Sorry, I guess.
So he had a reflection behind his reflection.
It sounds like it. Like, you know when you're staring into a mirror and you see yourself?
Yeah.
So you see everything behind you. Mm-hmm. So behind him, to me it sounds like behind him, something peers from his back and then walks away. And it's him walking away. You know what I mean? Like, that's just creepy.
That is kind of creepy. Everybody stay away from mirrors for the remainder of the evening.
A paranormal investigator did her own experiment. She took the mirror into an empty room only to watch through the mirror as people who were not in the room mill around. So she took it, it sounds like in the article, she took it and was kind of looking through it, and there's people just in this room. And she was by herself. So she took it in the room, and like 3 minutes later she came back and said, this is what I saw. The author and owner of the mirror, he would cover up the... So he gets back home after this travel, and he would come home and he would cover up the mirror at night. And actually, the first time he says, the next day, like after they came home, he came into where they keep the objects, and he saw his two cats looking at it. And the veil was down, like the cover was down. He thought, well, my cats probably, you know, took it off. I may have forgotten to cover up before I go to bed because he was really tired, but he'll just cover it up. So he does that, and the next morning, it's uncovered. And that's when he realized it must be uncovered in itself during the night. So he puts a camera on it. And it happens, if I remember it correctly, it happened like 3 out of 7 times. But like the last night, the camera, when it opened, and it said his files were like corrupted. Which was like, how was it corrupted when it was just working?
That's weird.
Yeah, well, it's weird that it just happens on this one thing. Like, he was doing all this other stuff with his cameras, and then the only one he was... I'm reading into it where it sounds like he was only using it for this one thing, and it's all corrupted, where he uses it for other things, and the files are fine.
Sounds like he needs to, like, actually go down there and stay there at night, watch and see if it actually, like, does itself.
No.
I wouldn't recommend it, but, I mean, if you're trying to get, like, evidence of it, you know? Like,
well... The other items, so they had other items that people had given them. Like, one was, like, a burnt panchette from a Ouija board. Another one was, like, a haunted picture and a doll. And even though people reported things happened with these items, it was in their living room or... Yeah, I think they said the living room or at least in the area where they kept these objects. And nothing really happened with these objects. But when the mirror showed up and they put it with the items... These items started almost being charged. They started acting like the mirror would fall down off the wall, the doll disappeared, and the panchette was like moving or would move from. They would see it in one area and then they see it somewhere else. And then that's when they realized maybe we shouldn't put these in the mirror by it. So now the mirror is wrapped in a sheet, has a rosary draped over it, and is locked in a chest. And I remember, I forgot what the show was. I want to say it was Paranormal Encounters. I think that was the show. That it's the guy from Ghost Adventures. It's not the main guy. I think it is that Nick Goff. And they went to a mansion and they get locked in, him and his partner. And they invited, I think it was Newkirk. They had different items and one was the mirror. And when you see this thing, it just looks like it's a black, like mirror, like blackout mirror. And... You know, if I had the opportunity, I would not want to even touch that thing. Like, no. I wouldn't want to look through it. I don't even want to...
There's, like, a rule that, you know, for the wise, like, you don't mess around with stuff like that. Because It's, at this point, it's like, it just shows you things.
Yeah.
But you don't know what the long term is. Like, does it show you these things, and then these things eventually happen somehow?
Well, and there's also the reports of the strange visions, warping faces... In a general sense of dread. And I didn't write it down, but there was a story. Well, because, like... Okay, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt. Because the story... I love the story. It's creepy, and it's something that I... Probably one of those things that I wouldn't want to touch. Because the stories are just so creepy about it. But he was talking about radio show. I think it was called Paranormal Radio. And it was the two hosts. So they had it, and one of the hosts, like, picked it up. And, like, basically put it down. Like, freaked out on air. And said that he saw himself, like, his mouth twisting this, like, grotesque smile. And he basically put it down and he didn't touch that thing for the rest of the show. And they had a link on it. When if you just type in Dark Mirror in Google, his article comes up. But it has a link to where you could hear him talking about it, the two hosts talking about it and looking in the mirror. But it's kind of those things where I want to take with that one with a grain of salt. Because they're online. Not online, but they're, you know, on a radio show and... Not that saying that they're not honest or anything, but I just don't know were they doing it for this or... But the other stories, it's just ordinary people who were like... The one lady's like, I gotta go and say a prayer. I gotta go leave. And then like one woman, the woman who I want to say was a palm print, was basically the skeptic of the group.
It's like I wonder like if the lady that said she could see her own decomposing corpse looking back at her or something like that... I wonder if she's still alive, or was that like a, like, haha, you know, now you're gonna die, or something, this is your future.
I don't know, like, he doesn't really come back to say, like, oh, and this is, like, stories I've heard afterwards. At the end, it was funny, because at the end of the article, I forgot what page it was on, but it was saying, like, have you did you look into this mirror, or did you have experience with this mirror? Let us know. So it seems like they want, like, people to let them know, like, hey, let's see if it's really true, and these stories go out there.
It's like somebody made this mirror somewhere under some circumstances for the specific reason of just screwing with people.
Well, but like I said, there's mirrors like this that are on eBay and stuff. They're actually used for this medium, but this one just seems like there's something else going on with it.
So it'll be a little bit darker.
Yeah. So hence the dark mirror. But it's one of those stories that when you think about it, you're like, oh, that's not that scary. But then you realize when you're, like, even right now, I'm facing you in my chair. Next to you is my lawyer's bookcase with the glass, and all I can see is, like, the reflection behind me. And I'm just like, I'm really trying to avoid, like, looking at that.
You're trying to avoid Shadow Leslie?
Yeah, exactly. You don't, like, it's one of those stories that you read or you're told that don't seem that scary. You're like, that's just creepy. And then later you're all like, I really don't want to go to the bathroom because I'm going to have to pass by the double vanity mirror in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm not going to look. Put my hand up. I'm not going to look. It's like when my old apartment, I think I mentioned this before, my old apartment had this 1970s feel. And when we walked in, I remember the landlord was like, okay, this in the living room or in the dining room, in this area up here, you could have a light or you could have a fan. Which one would you like? And at the time, it was just the light. And I said, I would love a fan. We're on the second floor. And so he's like, okay, yeah, we'll get that fan set up. And I remember my husband, Chris, he was my boyfriend at the time. Chris, he looked at the wall that was next to the dining room in the kitchen. So it's this area of wall between the kitchen and the living room. And what did they have on it? Just a wall full of mirrors. Like those, I want to say, is like the 2x4 looking mirrors, and they just were all kind of connected.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was all like, yeah, so can that go, or can you get rid of that? And the guy's like, nope, sorry, that stays. Okay, people, I don't know why we need a wall of mirrors in here.
Right.
But anyway, so that is the dark mirror. That is also the reason why I was totally creeped out tonight. So
I think now I can see why.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, feeling like, whoa, hey.
I know. So for people who don't know, sometimes we'll double up on our recordings. And if I ever sound like total manic, it's because I read something scary and Jay calls me out right away like, you read something scary, didn't you?
Basically, I know you.
Well.
And you do it. In excess to, like, you'll be like, oh, wow. Like, that person, like, you're, like, one of those people who's, like, you love watching scary stuff, but then you can't handle it afterwards.
I can handle it.
You're like a person who likes to drink but can't handle their liquor.
I can't handle it.
Like,
I love, like, you, man.
You know, those people who, like, they go out, they love to drink, but then they have little, every single time they have, like, little mini freak-out sessions, like, while they're drinking, like, and then y'all belligerent and stuff, and then, you know, next weekend they're like, hey, who wants to go out and have a few drinks? Like, not with you.
I know, my friends like it when I drink vodka. They call me Vodka Leslie. So those were our urban legends this week.
Molasses disaster and dark mirror.
Oh, that dark mirror. Like, I think it was called Paranormal Encounters, but when you see this mirror, it's creepy as heck.
I don't want to see it now.
I know, right?
I don't need to see no creepy ass mirror.
That's the scariest thing to think about. If that mirror, you look into it and anything moves that we're not... One, you see stuff that's not behind you. People who you know aren't in there. And two, if you see your own doing weird stuff. Like smiling back.
Or even worse than that. I mean, I feel really bad for the lady who saw her own decomposing corpse.
Oh, God. See, that's the one that gives me, like, the shivers.
Ugh. I'm like, was the corpse looking at her? Or was she just looking at it? It just looked like it was, like, facing her.
I know.
Or was her own corpse going, like...
You know, I know, like, I kind of just picture it as like a Dorian Gray, Portrait of Dorian Gray kind of thing, where you're just slowly seeing yourself age.
Mm.
Yeah. Creepy.
Creepy.
Okay. Well, that's the end of it. Are you going to take us home?
I will. And everybody, please do not be afraid of anything that we've discussed on this program tonight, except for Dark Mirror. That's terrifying, and I wouldn't fault you for feeling completely horrified at that. For they all are, in fact, fictional. Or are they?
Good night, everyone.